Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out of bad, see the broken day, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Perella Palatia. We're having an ice storm, but Granny still loves to have a drink or two of the purple cushy in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to break the traffic. Some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends, they come around flat to flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down. What a mess this touch is tattered. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Mafia tonight on a Monday nighter. And I am coming off of the Knicks 123-112 win over the Atlanta Hawks tonight at the world's most famous. And Julius Randle, as advertised today on Coast to Coast, I was talking to Smitty, Jared Smith, from the morning after, and the first thing I asked him about was the Knicks and about, the difference in this team and, frankly, what Rose has brought to the picture for their transition, their speed, the pace of the game, and then what, I deem the most important guy on the team is Randle. He's their go-to scorer. He's their best scorer. He lit it up tonight. He had a game, I'm telling you, 44 points, 9 boards, 5 dimes, 7 three-pointers. He was 14 of 22 from the floor. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I think his career high ever was 45 points. 44 tonight for the Knicks from Randle at the Garden. And then R.J. Barrett had 21. IQ quickly with 16 and 5 dimes. Rose 8, 3, and 3 in 24 minutes. Payton had 12.7 boards. Nerlens Noel got involved. 6 points, 4 boards, 2 assists. And, I mean, everybody was in on this. Barrett hit 3 for 3 from downtown. Quickly, 4 of 8 from downtown. They shot 50% from 3, 50% from the floor. Meanwhile, the Hawks, Trae Young, 23 points. Collins, 19. Reddish, 16. Gallinari, 16. And Capella, 15, with 18 rebounds for Capella, the double-double. So, what a game. He was the only guy, I think, that had a double-double of all the guys that went off in that game tonight. But Randle, amazing performance. And the Knicks, 14-15 now. Atlanta, 11-16. Quite a game for JR. I'll tell you what. I'm sitting there watching this guy. He hit a baseline shot late in that game as the Knicks were holding on to the lead. They were up about 5 at the time. No time left on the shot clock. Nowhere to go. No one to feed. Everyone covered. He pulls up from behind the glass along the baseline. Uneven. He was behind the glass, so near the out of bounds. And he put up a teardrop rainbow over that glass straight down into the bucket, all net. Like, this guy was absolutely scintillating tonight, just dropping J's everywhere, scoring inside and out, 7 threes. I was blown away by Randle's game tonight. I really was. He looked fantastic. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and all of Southern California, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. 844-843-6879 is the number to call if you got the stones to do it. Jazz and Sixers are going at it right now, 68-63. Jazz, a minute left in the half. In that game, you're getting productivity from Simmons, 21 and 6 dimes to go with 4 boards. Harris, Tobias Harris, has 18 and 6 boards. Unbelievable. JoJo not playing. He never came in the game. Your boy Embiid never came in the game. I don't know what's going on there. Clarkson with 19 for the Jazz. Ingles, 13. Donovan Mitchell, 12. And that's pretty much the story there. No Embiid in that game. I didn't have anything on that today, Mafia, that he wasn't going to play. So I got to find out what's going on there. 72-63 Jazz. The Bulls win in overtime in Naptown against the Pacers. 120-112. Chicago gets it done. You always know what happens when Chicago wins. Zach LaVine with 30 and 4 threes, 9 boards, 3 dimes to go with it. Several in double figures for the Bulls. We'll get into it a little later. And the Wizards said, welcome back, John Wall. We're going to beat you either way. DC, the Wizards, 131-119. They beat the Rockets tonight. Getting set to go 3 in the West.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I don't know where Mafia is finding that metal, but I know it's not. I know it's not licensed. Sounds good though, Mafia. Garage Days Revisited. Some local band or something you're getting that Jimmy off of. Anyway, I just saw your boy Kyrie Irving with a 6 step back, 3 dagger on the wing with the handle. He had a little dribble, 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 dribble. And then like a little dribble step back, 30-footer, boom, all net. He's hit 2 threes already. 9-4, Harden at the line over the Kings at the Golden 1 in Sacktown. Got a little late night Nets, Kings going here on the bench. And then there's 2 other games, and believe it or not, one of them's on. So I can watch that one as well, Mafia. I'm very excited about it. It's the Clippers game against the Heat, and they're down 7-0 to the Heat already. Now, remember, in that game, no Kawhi, no PG, right? I think they're not playing. And then neither is Beverly. So those guys aren't even playing at all. At least, unless I'm mistaken. Yeah, they're not.
Sounds like a night to play some Lou Will props.
You got that right. He's starting. It's 7-5 now, so they're back in it. All right.
What do you
have,
30-11 last night when those two guys were sitting out?
Well, your boy can score at will when he wants to. Can you imagine what that guy's going to be like down at the, Venice Beach outdoors or in some rec league indoors? What do they call that thing in the summer in
the Drew League?
In L.A. Drew League. What do you think he'll do in that when he's done playing ball? He'll score 60 a game. No one will be able to stop him. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen White Chocolate play in rec leagues after he was done playing the NBA? You don't realize how good these guys are until you see him play a bunch of stiffs.
It's like watching the Globetrotters play the Generals, except the guys playing them are actually playing hard and for real, and they're still getting schooled that bad.
Yeah. So, like, if you know, we play a lot, we love playing, and we think we're good. And then a guy like that shows up, and then he humiliates you and hurts your feelings, and then sleeps with your mother. These things happen. Harden just hit a dagger, 13-8 Nets, and I'm going to watch this game tonight. I don't know. I don't think I can take my eyes off of Harden and Kyrie Irving to watch a Clipper team with the three, two of them anyway, Claw and PG aren't playing. What do I care about Patrick Beverly? I know he hit a three the other day looking away at the Cavs bench, but I'm not a fan of his game. I think he plays decent defense, but as far as anything else, I think he's kind of a hack. So I'm not excited about him ever. What do I care if he's in the lineup or not? He doesn't matter. I know they all act like he does. They're always talking about Patrick Beverly. That he's this, stud, but whatever. Yeah, whatever.
I just checked it out, actually, Scott. Lou Williams, the live player props right now on FanDuel, his points prop is actually only 22.5. I would have expected more, given that he is pretty much their whole offense tonight.
So you like that over right there?
Yeah, I like that. That guy can score 22 when he's coming off the bench. Now he's starting.
Wouldn't it be great if you put in 50 tonight? Your boy, Sweet Lou, went on a tear. You know this game's going to be crazy. It's 13-12 already, and it'll be crazy because the Nets don't play any defense. They could be up 30, and then next thing you know, it's a one-point game because they just don't play any defense. And now they're trailing in this game after a turnover. Buddy Hield hits the three. This team isn't bad. I mean, it's funny how when you watch them and you wonder, the Kings, they're 12-14. That's not the worst thing I've ever seen in the world. But when you look at that team, I kind of like, Bagley, Barnes, Fox, Joseph, and Hield. Now, four of those five, and I don't know about Joseph that much. Obviously, Corey Joseph played at Texas, blah, blah, blah. But I like all the other ones. There's been a lot of talk about Barnes lately getting moved. Boston would want him, et cetera. Everybody wants a big that can score. But Barnes, I think for this season, he's 16 a clip, six boards, three dimes. I mean, the guy gets involved. And, in his career, he's 13. He's actually playing above himself. But there's people interested in him. I don't know. If you're the Kings, do you keep him based on you finally have, I think, a decent team? Now, they got Halliburton. He's injured, I think. Bottom line is they got all these guys. Whiteside, he hasn't played yet. They got talent. I mean, there's no one I like watching more, honestly, on that team than De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a badass. And Fox's numbers, 23 on the season, three boards, six dimes. I mean, that's phenomenal. Do you think De'Aaron Fox should be an all-star mafia? Do you think he, what do you think? Should Randall and Fox be All-Stars?
Oh, Randle definitely should. I mean, this guy is in the mix for most improved player in the NBA this season with how much he's changed his game, you know, being more of a team player, being in better shape, being out there and actually contributing to a winner instead of just taking over on a loser and scoring as much as he can. Fox, yeah, I think he should be an All-Star as well. I think he's playing well. This is a good season for him. They're playing well. Why not? I mean, it's going to be tough, obviously, in the West because you have so many great guards out there, but I think he deserves it.
So, yeah, I like both their games a lot, and I feel like Randle deserves it based on he's carrying the Knicks, and then everybody else has picked up their game because of him. And then when they jolted that team with D-Rose, I think he's made them faster, more exciting. He certainly opened things up for Obi Toppin and for IQ quickly. He's been in every game producing. Again tonight he did it, but the three previous games he had at least 14 in all those games. He didn't do that tonight, but he did other things. So the other game's going on right now. It's Heat 16-15 on the Clippers. Sixers trailing the Jazz 72-66. The Warriors, who seldom come out to play, they're up right now at home 16-11 on the Cavs. And in that game so far, Curry with a 5 spot. Wiggins 6. They're just underway, getting started. Already the Warriors shooting 54%. They've hit 3 out of 4 from downtown, so they're hot to start the game. Up 5, 6.5 left in the first at the Chase Center in San Francisco. So do you put Curry in that? You know, today on Coast to Coast, we talked about, you know, the MVP talk. And how it's basically LeBron, Embiid, and then they put Joker at 3, Curry at 4. Do you think Curry is having what you would deem an MVP-type season, Mafia, with the numbers he's putting up and the job he's doing with that team without Klay Thompson on the floor?
Yeah, I definitely think he is. I mean, the problem is his team's going to let him down, just like, you know, a situation like he had with Doncic. I mean, the Warriors are going to make the playoffs, you know, and Joker's probably going to have the same situation with his team. Nuggets falling down in the standings. Like, these teams are going to be in the playoffs, but you're only going to make an MVP if you're in the top three, you know, four teams in that conference. You're not going to get it as a 7th and 8th seed.
He's averaging, like, 29.9 points a game, 5 boards, 5 dimes. Curry getting involved, lighting it up for the Dubs. Coming up, Jerry Palm from CBS to talk college rack. All right, Pharrell back on the bench. And we got Jerry Palm of CBS Sports joining us now. I think he's in Chicago, unless I'm mistaken. Is that where you are, Jerry?
Yeah, Northwest Indiana, suburbs of Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Valparaiso, where are you at?
Actually, it's Schererville. So I'm probably 30 minutes closer to Illinois than Valparaiso is.
Yeah, I know where it is. It's up there, Schererville. I know where it is. So,
in the region.
Mafia told me that it's snowing ass there and freezing cold. I saw earlier today, Chicago, that it was actually, it's like sub-zero, and the snow is like covering even Lake Michigan. There's not even water. It's just a big, giant thing of snow.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen that, but that wouldn't surprise me because it's been really cold. We're in what they said is like our worst cold snap, prolonged cold snap in like 60 years here. And we got, about 10 inches or so of snow a week, maybe a week and a half ago, and we're supposed to get another 8 inches maybe tonight into tomorrow. So that's been fun.
Yeah, listen, Jerry, just so it makes you feel better, we got like 5-foot drifts of snow here in New York, in New York City. We've had, I'd say on average, Mavi will back me up on this, we've averaged, I believe, every 2 days, some kind of snow or ice storm every 2 to 3 days for a month. Jeez. Like every 2 to 3 days, like we're having an ice storm right now, and then Thursday we're supposed to get hammered with snow. Like it sucks so bad, Jerry.
Yeah. I managed to get in and out of New York last weekend. I was there for the bracket show on CBS on Saturday. So I got in on Friday and out on Sunday, and there was hardly any precipitation while I was there, but they were calling for it. It just didn't materialize. And I was pretty lucky to get in and out.
So were you, you're hanging out with that whole crew on, CBS Sports Network doing the college rack, huh? Who all was doing the show?
No, it was, this was the CBS show. So I was with, Greg Gumbel and Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis.
Oh, so you were doing the heavyweight on the network.
Yep.
So
for the
guys
NCAA
on the
bracket reveal.
Ooh, so the guys on like the cable side, you're on the heavyweight side. When you're on, when you walk past them in the hall, do you ignore them? Like pretend like they're not there?
No, those are my guys. I'm on with them a lot.
Come on. You got to give them some kind of business. You got to give them some kind of, you know, look at me. I'm on network TV now with Jerry's Bracketology. You can't hang with me. All right.
No, because I hang with them a lot.
So you get along with all those guys?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Oh, Clark Kellogg. He's,
because he loves,
if I have to pick one.
You know,
He's a sweetheart of a guy. He's really smart. That's I don't really have any complaints about any of them though. I get along with pretty much everybody, but Clark is just a really super nice guy.
Do you remember when they used to do like the, unless I'm mistaken, right? Back in the day when they did the games on in the tournament down to the like, you know, Final Four and the championship game, he was like one of the analysts, right? He was doing the games.
Yeah, he called a lot of games. I don't know if he's calling as many anymore, but I think he's doing mostly studio stuff. But he used to do a lot of the games as a color analyst.
I know,
he did the Pacers
for
a long time, too, in Indianapolis.
Right, but that's my point, is that he was doing the games, and he was great at it, and then they shafted him. They, like... I don't even know who does it now. Do you even know who does it now? And I'm not even being mean toward anybody. I'm just saying they changed the complexity of it where he was doing the games and then they took him off the games. And I thought that was a big mistake. I thought he was great on the games. And then he started doing more studio work.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that came about. He may have wanted that. He may have wanted studio work and get off the road a little bit.
And who does the game now? Is it just is it Raftery with one other guy doing the who does the play by play? Is it Nance?
Yeah, I think Raf is still the main guy. I know Ian Eagle does a lot of play by play. Jim Nance is the main guy when it comes to the tournament and some of the late season stuff when he gets through with some of the golf because he does a lot of golf. But once the tournament starts, Jim Nance is the main play by play guy.
You were, you're the bracketology genius, and obviously you know more, in my opinion, college basketball than any of those stiffs in terms of they're all talented, but you know more. Like, why aren't you doing the games is what I want to say. I think that Jerry, you should be doing the game. Well, you know more than everybody.
That would be a blast. I'd love to do a game somewhere sometime. That would be fun. I don't know that they think of me that way. I've never approached them about it. But it would be fun to do color on a game sometime. I would have a blast with that.
So, you know, you have been on with me through the years when I was at CBS, and you did my show all the time. Have you ever gone on seriously with anyone more than me, like in terms of like radio?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've got some guys I talk to every week, and I have for a long time. There are people, you know, like in, Memphis and Albuquerque and places like that where I talk to them every week. But national guys, no, you're probably the most I've been on with.
The national guys. Who do you go on with in Memphis?
Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Your other buddy works at the network that is the he's on CBS Sports Network, too, from Memphis. Gary Parrish.
Yep.
Thank God for Mavia, because I got early for Alzheimer's. I start forgetting names at my age.
I do, too. Yeah, Gary's actually our primary writer for college basketball on the website too, and he does a lot of studio work.
I think he's great.
Yeah,
I'd like to see you two. I'd like to see you two do a game or get in a fist fight.
That'd be fun.
Either or.
Well, he'd probably beat me up. I've got a reach advantage on him because he's pretty short, but I'd probably lose that.
Did you hear that, Mafia? He's making fun of short people now on the show tonight. Your boy Jerry Palm. Mafia's 6'5". I'm 6'4". So you can't make fun of us.
I'm the short guy. I'm the short guy in that crowd, then. I'm only 6'1".
6'1 is short to me. Like, I'll take advantage of you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That 3 inches, I'll just back you down and just score at will.
Yep.
All right, so it's true. So today you came out with your latest bracketology, and you have Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Ohio State. Those, and then the number twos, you have Houston, Illinois, Alabama, and Villanova. Interesting about Alabama, they remind me of, they're really good. They had another blowout win this weekend, but they remind me of Oklahoma in that I think Lon Kruger's Oklahoma Sooner team is very dangerous, can beat anybody. And I think Alabama's kind of getting that reputation too, don't you?
Yeah, and I think they do it in different ways, though. Oklahoma's probably a little more defense-oriented. I mean, they can score, no question, but I think they think defense first, and Alabama thinks offense first. That they can light up from three probably better than anybody. They had 115 against Georgia the other day, and then earlier in the season, they hit 23 three-pointers against LSU. So when they're going like that, they can absolutely beat anybody. They're not a bad defensive team, but they're more of a offense first team, and I think Oklahoma's more of a defense first team, and they played each other, in that Big 12 SEC challenge a couple of weeks ago. They played at Oklahoma, a great game that went down to the end, and Oklahoma won. So those two are both very good, and probably. Alabama's, I think the best team in the SEC. Oklahoma's probably the second best team behind Baylor in the Big 12, and they've really come on in conference play in particular.
So explain to me this whole Hinkle 1 and Hinkle 2 you've got going on, and then you have these eight teams playing. Can you explain that to me?
I can try, but the entire tournament's being played in Indianapolis except for a handful of games at Mackey and a handful of games at Assembly Hall. At IU, so there's regions that are, the regionals are going to be played at Hinkle, and I think Bankers Life, but only until the Elite Eight, and then everything's at Lucas Oil. But I have to have site names on the web page, or it crashes. So I put in Hinkle, I put in Bankers Life and Mackey and Assembly Hall, the sites that they're using, but it's really going to be more on the fly. Then not as rigidly defined as it usually is in terms of where teams are going to play.
Oh, I see. So I got to figure it out. But you have Indiana making it. Is that because they beat? Iowa twice and then came back against Northwestern? If they would have lost that game, that ugly game in Evanston that they almost they should have lost. Somehow they found a way to win in double overtime. Here's what we'll do, Jerry. We got another segment, so we'll bring you back and we'll figure this out. I want to look at all these teams that you have in here and how you have them bracketed in terms of your world. I think it's pretty cool, so people can get a better understanding of what lies ahead. Because all that matters now that football's over is college basketball and the March Madness that we're going to finally have this year. We're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS on the Bench.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
right, we're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports on the Bench on Sports Grid Radio Network. So I was asking you about Indiana. I know they don't matter. I know they're not winning anything. I know they'll be lucky if they win a game in the tournament. But they did beat Iowa in Iowa City. Then they beat them in Bloomington. And a last-second shot gets it done. And then they were down 7 with 2 minutes to go in Evanston. They won the game in double overtime. They hit 14 of 15 free throws. So is that like getting them in that little stretch right there? Because the rest of their season is nothing to brag about.
Yeah, it's the wins over Iowa are huge for Indiana. They really don't have a whole lot else. In terms of higher quality wins, but the ability to get that sweep of Iowa is the difference between them being in and out. They're only 11-9. They played a good schedule because everybody in the Big Ten plays a good schedule. It's that good of a league this year. But the those wins over Iowa, that's really the difference maker for Indiana.
So you have them in like a play-in game.
I do. Yep, first four game.
Against Seton Hall, and that's Mafia school. So who do you like in that one, Jerry, Mafia or Pharrell? I think Seton Hall is better than Indiana.
I don't have a lot of faith in Indiana doing much once they actually get to the tournament. So Seton Hall, I think Seton Hall will end up not in a play-in game in the end. Indiana, if they make the tournament, is probably going to be in a play-in game because they're just too hit and miss.
So right now you have Seton Hall in that game, but you think they'll make it in and Indiana will have to play somebody else?
Yeah, I think in the end, Seton Hall will probably move their way up. Their schedule is going to give them a chance to move up. Indiana just doesn't play consistently well enough for me to have faith that they're going to do much better than the first four if they get in.
Right. How about Minnesota? They are winless on the road in the Big Ten, and they're playing, I think, aren't they? They're playing this week in Bloomington against Indiana, maybe Wednesday night.
They're in the first four, too.
Yeah, what's their problem, you think, that they suck
they
on the road?
They can't win away from home. Yeah.
Yeah, like Missouri. I think Missouri's the same kind of team.
No, Missouri hasn't been – well, Missouri's only got four or five losses, so they've won some on the road, but – you know, we talked about this a lot with Rutgers last year. You know, Rutgers was having a pretty good season and had not won a single game away from their home floor. And, you know, you just don't get into the tournament if you can't win away from home because, you know, the tournament's not played at home. And nobody had ever gotten in the tournament without at least two wins away from home. Neutral court's fine, too. But, you know, this year there haven't been a lot of neutral court games. Minnesota is 0-7 on the road. Those are, I'm pretty sure, all conference games. I don't think they played a road non-conference game. And, you know, life on the road is tough, but it's not as tough this year as it's been in other years. But Minnesota still hasn't found a way to break through. And if they don't find a way to break through, I have a feeling they'll miss the tournament. They're going to have to beat somebody on the road or in the conference tournament because that counts too. That's neutral court. They're going to have to find a way to beat somebody.
Wow, right now you have them in a play-in game, like hypothetically it would be against Drake. I think they'd Drake's been really good, but I don't think they could hang with Minnesota, in my opinion, their size and their athleticism.
Size would, the Robins would be a problem for them, for sure. And Drake right now is playing without their best player, Shanquan Hemphill, who averages like 16-7, leading scorer, second leading rebounder, and he's out through the rest of the regular season and maybe the conference tournament too. And that's a real problem for Drake.
Yeah. They got blown out by Loyola of Chicago, but how about them coming back and beating them by a bucket over the weekend?
That was huge. Yeah, that was huge. And that had to be an eye bleeder of a game. I didn't get to watch it, but it was 51-50 overtime game. But that Drake had, you know, it's, first of all, it's a confidence booster that you can beat Loyola without your best player going forward, but it's also just the quality win that they need if they're going to try and build something of an at-large resume in the Missouri Valley, where really the only teams you can get any kind of a quality win against is, you know, Loyola, Drake and Loyola against each other. So splitting that series was actually kind of key for both of those schools in terms of trying to be an at-large And then we'll see what happens in the conference tournament. But they can't afford to lose to anybody else.
How many Mountain West teams are you letting in?
Well, I've got four at the moment. Utah State is in because they're in first place. I don't have them as an at-large quality team. And in the end, it's probably not going to be more than three because those four teams will beat each other up to the point where one of them just doesn't make it.
And then how many Big 12 did you put in?
Seven. And they're all, I think all but Oklahoma State's in the top 25 of my S-curve. And Oklahoma State's like 27. But seven teams. Right. And then Oak State. Yeah, Oak State is, had a one-year ban for this year's tournament, but they're appealing it. And if that appeal isn't decided before the tournament starts, then they're still eligible. If the appellate committee or whoever's hearing their appeal comes back before the tournament starts and upholds the ban, then they'll get it. They won't make it. But that's the only way.
So what you're saying is, if they don't make up their mind by a certain date, then they can play in it because they haven't ruled. Yep. So it would have
right.
to be
they're eligible pending their appeal. So they're still eligible because they appealed their ban. And if it's not heard before the selection Sunday, I think, then they can play.
Will it be heard? What's the problem there? What, are they going to blame it on the weather or COVID?
No. The pandemic slowed everything down. First of all, the NCAA is slow under the best of circumstances, but the pandemic has slowed the enforcement process down considerably.
And they want Cade Cunningham in so we can see the possible number one pick in the draft?
I don't know that the enforcement people care about that.
I think they do because I think they're all NBA.
There's plenty
fans
of star power in the tournament. They don't need Cade Cunningham for the tournament to be successful.
Yeah, they do, Jerry, because they're going to bet on him. They're going to have player props on him.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
well,
do you have Jerry? Now slow down. Don't get mad at me, Jerry, because we all like to gamble over here. So what's the deal? You have how many Pac-12 teams going? And you have UCLA, I see, as a nine. So you actually have them getting in with all their crappy performances of late?
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit. They have to turn that around a little bit or they won't get in. I've got SC, UCLA, Colorado, and Oregon in. I think USC is the only one in the top half of the bracket. And Stanford has been around the bottom of the bracket, but they're off of it for now.
You have, I saw USC as in that region with Gonzaga, the top seed. You have USC as a five seed in there. How good do you think that team is?
Probably not as good as that seed would indicate, but not much off of it. The committee, when they gave us their top 16 on Saturday, mentioned that the two teams that they discussed the most that didn't make that group were Florida State and USC. So they like them. And it's not like there's no reason to like them, but I think they're the best team in the Pac-12 for what that's worth. That league is not as strong this year. And the preseason favorite was Oregon. They had a lengthy COVID pause. So they haven't really got their legs back under them yet. Their conference tournament should be interesting, and it might be important in terms of some of these teams getting in.
Hey, Jerry, do you think Jerry Palm with CBS Sports, do you think that because that Baylor's region that you have them number one, obviously they're a number one. They're dangerous. They're a great team. But I see you have West Virginia in that bracket as a number three seed and Illinois is the two. I actually think – as I look at it on the surface, I love that region you have set up. And I think that West Virginia and Baylor, who've had all these, great games, whatever, didn't they get one of them canceled or something this weekend?
Yeah, Baylor's been on a three-week pause, counting this week as well. So we're not going to see Baylor until at least February 20th. And it'll be their first game in 3 weeks.
Well, I think they're on vacation because they can kick anyone's ass that they play anywhere, and you know it. So I think West Virginia and Baylor will meet in that regional final. That's how good I think those two teams are.
Yeah, and that'll be a game played in the 50s in terms of scoring because of the way both teams defend.
Right. That'll be awesome. Michigan, the number one seed in that bracket. Bama, 2, and Oklahoma, 3. How great would it be? Again, I'm going to say Michigan and Oklahoma in the regional final because I think the Sooners can beat anybody.
Yeah, well, and they already beat Alabama once. That's a great region because all three of those teams are capable of, winning a national championship, all three of them. Of course, you've got to get by Gonzaga and Baylor, or Baylor, I suppose. Maybe not have to beat both, but and those two have dominated college basketball this season. But Michigan, Alabama, Oklahoma are all capable of making that kind of a run. Michigan has been terrific, and of course, they just had 3 weeks off. Came back on Wisconsin on Sunday after Davison throws an elbow and kind of woke Michigan up a little bit, and right. then they stomped them in the second half and won that game. Michigan is the best team in the Big Ten in what's a really strong league, but Michigan is still, to me, just the class of the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. That comeback in Madison showed how tough they are. How about this one? You have Ohio State, the number one seed in the other bracket, Nova 2, Texas Tech is 4, and they would have to play, Ohio State would have to beat them at some point to get to that regional final. I think Texas Tech can beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I think, Ohio State is getting healthy finally. Their lineup hasn't really been stable for a while, and now they've gotten hot as they've gotten healthy. It's funny because their losses, they lost to Northwestern early in conference play in Evanston, and Purdue beat them twice. So it's kind of weird because they don't really have the kind of losses, not that Purdue's bad, but those aren't the kind of losses you normally think of for a team that's the number one seed in the bracket. But Ohio State's really good. Texas Tech, they were the runner-up the last time we had a tournament. Now a lot of those guys are gone, but still, Chris Beard knows how to get his guys tournament ready. They've been pretty successful in the tournament under him.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to see Gonzaga and Houston in that other region. I think that would be fabulous. Jerry, we'll check in with you again as we get closer to this whole monstrosity in the conference tournaments. Great stuff tonight on the bench, brother. Thanks so much. Good luck with the cold weather and snow.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks for having me on again, Scotty.
All right, Jerry Palm from CBS Sports with us on the bench tonight. When we come back, we'll talk to Mafia about who he likes in those regional finals that I just scraped up for you and see if he agrees or disagrees with any of that. So I've known Jerry forever, right? And I hate him because I love him. He went to Purdue and I went to Indiana, so naturally I hate him. But it's so funny. Did you hear me talking to him about player props on Cade Cunningham? And he's like, the tournament committee has nothing to do with any of that. There's none of that going on at all. I always joke with him about betting and about, gambling and everything. Jerry gets excited when he gets the pretzels on the airplane. He's your boy, Jerry. Jerry's been doing my show forever, Moff. I mean, he's been doing it forever.
All right, so, he has been, absolutely.
By the way, Harden's dealing tonight. He's got 18, 7, and 6 in the first half. There's still 3 minutes left. And Kyrie's got 16. They're up 64-55 on the Kings. So when I threw that out there, Baylor and West Virginia in his regions, right? So Jerry's pretty good at this. Do you like that regional final? Or are you more into like the 2-seed Alabama or 4-seed Tennessee? Tennessee would have to beat Baylor in that bracket to get to the regional final. Then Baylor wouldn't even make it. If Tennessee got to play them, they would have to beat them to knock Baylor out. Otherwise, Baylor would be in the regional final.
Yeah, I definitely think Alabama's live, like you said. I mean, Villanova, they've had their issues. Virginia, you can't count them out either as a three seed in the Ohio State bracket. I mean, they're not the same team as the one that won the title. They're a little different, a little more offensive, but they still can shut teams
down.
All right, time out.
So I asked you about – I just want to know, before you get into all this, these other teams, and we'll come back and ask you about this. So focus on this. The Baylor region, just the Baylor region. So Baylor's the one, Illinois the two, WVU the three, Tennessee the four. We'll talk about that when we come back and who you like in that region.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.